Let's read from Luke 2, and we're going to read 20 verses. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house of the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds lying in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Father, we are thankful for this time this morning, Lord, as we remember the birth of your Son, the birth of light coming into the world. And Lord, we just pray now that our hearts and our minds are open to that light. And Lord, may your Spirit transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So Luke begins the birth of Jesus in Luke 2 with this phrase, and you probably noticed it, "in those days." It's as if Luke is reminding us that Jesus was born into history, that he was born into life, and that there were things going on in this moment. There was power, there was a ruling class, and there were taxes, not unlike today. When we read that phrase, "in those days," it feels like a lot of our days, doesn't it? I mean, when we read the entire first seven verses, we kind of notice this. We have taxes to pay in the upcoming year, just to remind you. We just finished a census, not about a year or so ago. And there is, for whatever we want, there is, whether we believe it or not, a ruling class. We witness power daily by certain groups of people. And so those days that we read in these first seven verses from Luke sound a lot like our days. And as one theologian says about how Luke opens this text, "in those days," even those words sound tired and hopeless. And that comes to this point of kind of where I'm going. What is there to anticipate when all the days feel like the same, when nothing feels different, when there's nothing to look forward to except, well, death and taxes? Then why would you look forward to anything if that's all we have? To look forward, to anticipate, would mean that there is something to look forward to in the world. And so when we read these first seven verses of Luke's account of Jesus' birth, we are reminded that Jesus was born into history, that Jesus was born into a tired and hopeless world. And so why not, as we read the text, so why not the first people to hear and feel the announcement of Jesus' birth, why not their shepherds? I like what Michael said in the communion about Mr. Rogers' quote, because we begin to get this idea through the life of Jesus that all matter because the shepherds were the first ones to hear the announcement. To know anything about shepherds is to know that shepherds weren't considered the best of society. And in fact, they were more seen as the underbelly of society. There was a certain stigma attached to shepherds. I mean, you would think that the first to hear of the king's birth would be someone different than shepherds. But as we see in these verses, there's something different about this day. That this day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that this day something has changed. Time has changed. Ideas have changed. Power has changed. Whatever was tired, old, and hopeless was being put on notice in the span of four verses from Luke 2:8 to 2:11. We begin to notice that all of this narrative that Luke started with, in those days, and in those days there was an emperor, and in those days the emperor wanted a registration, and in those days certain people had to travel to certain places to make the emperor happy, and they were also doing it for tax purposes and all these different things. That in the span of these four verses, Luke begins to tell us that something is different about this day, and something is going to be different from this day on. We notice in these verses that the angel shows up, that the angel says immediately, "Do not be afraid, because there's something going on today." Whereas the old days, those days, were controlled by a kind of dark dimension of fear and oppression, a time where everyone knew their place within society, from shepherds to a young couple from Nazareth. In all of this, in this story, angels show up to sing to the least likely of the social class. I mean, wouldn't it be better if the story said the wise men received the angels, right? And the shepherds saw the star and decided to go follow it. That might make sense. But that's not how God works in this story. God actually says it's the shepherds who get the announcement, and it's the wise men who see the star. Because you see, shepherds had a habit of just living outside, living away from society, because the only people who really liked shepherds were sheep. And in the dark of night, when a baby is born in a manger, something changes. Dark is exchanged for light. The quiet of the night, the whispers you can hear of the shepherds speaking, is now interrupted by the angels of heaven. And we notice that the shepherd's initial response in verse 9 is, when the angels show up, fear. They're terrified, Luke says. And why wouldn't they have been in fear of what was going on? I mean, when one is startled by a great light during the darkness, our initial response is, A, someone's in trouble, or B, someone's getting arrested. Especially when society has always told you, especially as shepherds, when society has always told you that you're nothing but liars and cheaters. And as I said a minute ago, Paul Duke, a theologian, says this and reminds us this about shepherds, that shepherds were generally regarded as liars and thieves, they were religiously unclean, and were disallowed even from testifying in court. So the God of heaven decides that the best people to give the news to is the exact people who can't even testify in court. And this is how the story goes. All of this, the initial response of the shepherds should be fear, because they don't know what's going to happen. Fear has always controlled them. They anticipate fear when a great light is shown on them. But yet, what we see is the angels show up and say, "You've got nothing to fear from what I'm about to tell you. That this day is going to be different. That those days in which you knew shepherds, those days in which you feared, those days in which were marked by you being a social outcast, those days are different today. Today you are the witnesses and bearers of good news." And I know we speak of a new year beginning next Saturday with New Year's Day. But I think as Christians, and as I was reading the text and as I've been thinking about it this week, I think the new year for us starts today. Or really, I think it started yesterday. Because with the announcement from the angels to the shepherds, the angels basically saying time is no longer marked by fear. It'll no longer be marked by oppression, and it'll be no longer marked by hierarchy. Sure, we still see this on an everyday basis in the world. We read it in the news, and we see it in our computers. It might even be the favorite conversation at the water cooler, and if that's still a thing. The powers and principalities of the world would still like for all of us to live in those days, the days in which feel tired and hopeless. And they do it in all kinds of forms and in all their different ways. They want us to mark time by the stuff that we have. Better yet, they want to mark time by the stuff that we may not have, we have or we may not have. Even Christmas is really marked and remembered by what we got and what we didn't get. We kind of remember Christmas as, have you ever noticed this, by the things that we got? Oh, that Christmas that I received this. That Christmas that I received that. Oh, that I can still remember the Christmas where I was disappointed when I didn't get something that I thought I would get. And then as parents, we want to mark Christmases by saying, I think the kids had a good Christmas. Why do we say that? Because they got everything on their list. So even the world reminds us and marks Christmas still in that way of how we get things, the stuff we have and don't have. And yet this story that we celebrate is going to be marked by something different. Because the birth of a baby in Bethlehem changes it all. The angels say that today, this day, the day that we celebrate as Christmas, will no longer be marked on what we did get and what we didn't get. It'll no longer be marked by the ways the world say you're good enough or not good enough. A new time, as if what the angels are saying, has entered into the world. A time that's no longer marked by the rat race of accumulation and social status, but a time marked by grace and the love of the Father. It's a time marked by the lowest of the low receiving the choir of heaven. It was a time that was anticipated by so many. We can see this as we've read through the scriptures. Israel has been waiting for the Messiah. But that anticipation has now been drowned out by the Roman Empire and the machine of the economy and the machine of the society, the machine of making sure we have enough, the machine of the haves and the have-nots, the machine is of who's better and who's not, all of these different things that all of a sudden the anticipation gets drowned out by that, and the anticipation becomes just another day in those days, just running the circle of life, just trying to get through it, going through the will, the press, all of those different things, just trying to make it from one day to another, that we get to Christmas time, and it becomes another day. Day you get off, but it becomes another day. But when we read this story, when we come back to the story of the Gospels that tell us of how the Savior came into the world, I found myself asking the question to myself and to you, how do we mark time? How do we look at time? Do we tell the story of a baby that changed everything? Or do we tell the story that the world tells us to tell? The story of stuff, the story of what we have. Because here's the thing, every day our lives witness to how we tell time. Are we running the race set out by the business of the world? Lives that are controlled by fear of what ifs and not enoughs? Because the audacity of Christmas is that we no longer have to tell time that way. That God doesn't look at us by bank accounts or social status. That God looks at us all the same way. That God would even look at shepherds as valuable enough to be the first witnesses of the birth of Jesus. The audacity of Christmas is that God is saying time is going to be different. It's going to be a time of hope. It's going to be a time of grace. It's going to be a time of light. When the shepherds encountered the light of heaven, I have a hunch that their lives were never the same. And in fact, Luke tells us in the story that it was the shepherds' telling of the story that brought amazement to those who heard the story. Did you catch that in verse 17? When they saw this, they saw it and said, "Let's go to Bethlehem." So when they went to Bethlehem, what does it say? They saw this and they made known what had been told to them about the child. Everything in the life of the shepherds were now different. The story that the world had told them is now different. How they marked time is now different. I can imagine how they looked at it now to say, we were the first to know that the King of Kings entered into the world. And they told everyone. And what do we see in this passage? Amazement entered the world once again. It says it there in verse 18. And those who heard it were amazed. Think of that. Those who heard, the witnesses who were shepherds, who were not considered worthy to testify in court, heard the witness of the shepherds and were amazed. Amazement entered the world once again, and as we'll see, Luke will tell us here a little while later in Acts 2:43, that awe would come into the world as well. You remember what happened in Acts 2:43, right? Peter made mention of the witness of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. To the most unlikely of people, fishermen, tax collectors. The world is no longer captured by the fear of those days. Christmas marks a new time when Christians announce that there is actually a new way to live. That our lives should be the announcement of Christmas each and every day. That a new power marks how we look at things. It's a time of grace and salvation for all. A time of redemption and reconciliation. This is a time that we can anticipate. This is a time that I can anticipate. That Christ has entered into the world as a baby to say, in those days is no more. Your life is not about death and taxes. Your life is about grace. Your life is about redemption. Your life is about salvation for all. And that God has called you in whatever status you're at, just like the shepherds, to be a witness to that marking of time. To be a witness that the stuff of the world no longer has control of you. Why? Because a baby entered in and changed everything. If we can anticipate that, if we can anticipate that the one who came announced that, and that one is coming again, and we look forward to that, and we don't look forward to God, Christ coming in fear, we don't look forward to Christ coming with any kind of terrified expectation. Instead, we, like the shepherds, hear the announcement of the angels who say, you have nothing to fear because you have good news inside of you. And so as I read the text, all I could think about is this: Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And it's my prayer that our lives are marked by the coming of a child who changed the world. That our lives are marked by what has been born in us as we accepted the Savior. And that those around us see the birth of Jesus in our lives each and every day by what God is doing. Not what the world is doing, but what God is doing. And so let our lives witness to the new year of God. How are you going to live this new year? Are you going to live that a baby changed everything? Are you going to live that light entered into the world? That there is no more fear? But there's grace? Because that's what God's calling us to in this new year. So your new year started yesterday. Happy New Year. Make it a good one. Let those around you see and witness the difference that a day made. The difference that a day made. Because that's what we celebrated yesterday. That history changed for the better. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.